I was blessed to be, as we say, raised in the church. When I was a senior in high school, I did not attend the senior prom where I went to school. I didn't go to any of the dances that the school held, homecoming dances. I was involved in athletics, but those things were, I never really considered them an option, and my parents did not believe that those kind of things were the kind of things that a young Christian should participate in. I was not really a weirdo. Now, why did you laugh when I said that? Among our youth group at church, pretty much everyone's parents felt the same way, and it was considered rather normal that none of us would go to the dances that the schools had in the area. I never really wanted to go. I did sneak off one time and went with a friend of mine who incidentally now is also a gospel preacher. We went over into the next county where he and I both had been somewhat semi-dating a couple of girls who were members of the church as well. And their school was having a dance that night, and someone suggested, why don't we go to this dance? And I said, I don't think so. Come on, have you ever been to one? Well, no, actually, I've never been to a dance. It's fun. You'll enjoy it. I don't think I will. Long story short, I let them talk me into going, and we stayed about 15 minutes. Fact is, they didn't enjoy it much more than I did. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know, you know, how to act or anything. And so I was pretty much a fish out of water that night. Nobody knows about that, you understand. And so if word gets back to my mom and dad, I'm going to be in big trouble. So I'm going to trust you to keep that secret. The fact is, when I was growing up, there were many of my friends, even among denominational churches, whose parents felt really the same way about dancing. They didn't like for their kids to be involved in those kind of things. Obviously, I grew up, and that upbringing, that training, that teaching had an impact on me as I continued to grow and develop as a Christian, and consequently, those kind of things, dances and so forth, never really were temptations to me because I'd never been allowed to really cultivate a desire for them. Now, you understand, that alone does not make dancing wrong. Just because David Phillips grew up being taught that you didn't go to dances as a Christian, that fact in itself is not enough to conclude that dancing is right. And obviously, I'm not here tonight to force my moral opinions upon you or upon anybody. It's not my job. It's not my privilege to force my moral opinions on you. God resides in that realm, and He alone has the right to tell us. He writes the schedule. He's the one who's in control of our moral, the expectations of our morals. Now, you don't need me to tell you that times have really changed since way back there in 1900, and well, none of your business, but as we look around and see things and the behavior and the conduct, and especially the kind of things that are enticing young people to get involved with and so forth, it's just a whole different world out there. And when I was growing up in the church, it was a pretty much commonly held position that young Christian people didn't go to dances. It's not that way anymore. There are many, many people in the Lord's church today, people that we would consider to be faithful Christians, who probably have wavered a little bit on that stance. Dancing has changed a lot in the 40 years since I graduated from high school. There are some things that are going on, practices that are considered very ordinary, normal, that to you and me wouldn't be normal at all. The way kids dress, especially for such events, would send some of us into cardiac arrest. But some folks are willing to go along with it because they want their kids to be accepted. They want their kids to be popular. They've softened on a lot of things like that. In all fairness, let me also say on this point that that fact does not make dancing okay. The fact that more and more people today, even in the church, are softening their stance and relaxing their position on things like dancing and so forth doesn't mean it's right. God's will determines what's right and wrong. Not my opinion, not your opinion, not the changing times, not the opinions of the day, but what God says determines whether something is right or wrong. I announced last Sunday night that we'd be studying the topic of dancing tonight, and I've got to tell you, I've not looked forward to preaching this sermon. It's not an easy thing to preach about. Not a popular thing to preach about. In fact, I dare say that a lot of folks in the church today would, if they were honest, would say, you know, I don't know when I've ever heard a preacher preach on the subject of dancing. I don't want you to have to say that, and so that's one of the reasons why I thought this would be a good time for it. And especially since last Sunday night we studied the subject of modesty and how important modesty is for Christians and especially for our young people as they are growing up and having to face the issues that they face in this world. I think dancing is another one of those topics that deserves our attention. You know, there are a lot of things out there that we don't regard in the same way that we used to. A couple of ways of looking at that. We could say we, as in our society in general. A lot of things today. In fact, I've made the statement, we are one of the most adaptable societies that the world has ever seen, because if you parade something back and forth in front of us long enough, we'll go along with it sooner or later. Just look at the news today. Look at the things that people are doing. Look how we're being force-fed on a lot of issues, especially having to do with morality. We, as in our society, go along with a lot of things that we used to wouldn't stomach anymore. The thing about it is, though, it's also true that we, as Christians, if we're honest, would have to say that there are things other than just dancing that we've kind of softened a little bit on. I think that should remind us of the need to be very careful. We shouldn't let anyone use that as a tool against us to say or to make us believe that we're too old-fashioned, we're stuck in the last century, or we're not really progressive enough. Rather, the knowledge of that fact should make us more careful, more cautious, especially with things that have to do with our young people and their future. And so tonight, let's talk about dancing. We could entitle our first point as In Defense of Dancing, because there are a lot of people who want to defend dancing, and they have given a lot of reasons why dancing should be okay. They'll tell you that a lot of religions today, a lot of churches, don't condemn it. In fact, will go along with it. And you know, I'm thinking that's true. There is a an internet website entitled SermonCentral.com that I visit quite a bit. It's a listing of sermon manuscripts of anybody of any stripe. They claim to have millions of sermons listed and searchable by topic, by keyword, and so forth. And I use it a lot for illustrations and things like that. You have to be careful when you've got a conglomeration of information put together in that way. And you certainly need to be careful what you read and what you use. But I went to it this afternoon and I did a search. You can search sermon titles. And so I searched the word dancing. Now, in a commonly accepted, popular term that we might use today in the church, you search that word and you might come up with 300, 400, 500 sermons that have been posted on that topic. There were 87 posted on the subject of dancing. I looked at every one of them just briefly. Most of them I could tell from the title. But out of the 87, there was one. Incidentally, it was posted by a Church of Christ preacher, and it took the position that dancing was wrong. Most of the sermons used the word dancing in the title, and they were talking about dancing before the Lord, or dancing for joy, or, you know, positive sermons about dancing. One out of 87 took the stance that dancing is wrong. I think it would be a true statement to say that, yes, surely religious people in general today, especially those who call themselves quote-unquote Christians, probably don't take much of a stand at all against dancing. That fact alone is used by many people to justify participation in dancing. It would be a tremendous understatement to say that dancing today is very popular. It is, indeed. It is very, very popular. In fact, if you take the position that you're not going to allow your children to attend dances, be involved in the prom or whatever at school, then you may run the risk, at least, of feeling like you're causing your child to be rejected by his or her peers. That idea has also led a lot of people to change their stance on dancing. We're going to come back to that in a few minutes. There are also those, though, who claim that dancing is okay because dancing is mentioned in the Bible, and indeed it is, probably 20, 25 times. Basically, there are four different types of dancing that are mentioned specifically in the Bible. There is something that's referred to as dancing before the Lord. We find a reference to that over in Exodus chapter 15, when the Israelites had just come up out of the dry seabed of the Red Sea. And the waters had just closed in on Pharaoh's army and consumed all of the Egyptians. Miriam and the prophetesses danced before the Lord. It was obviously a worshipful dance. In the Old Testament, we find that kind of dancing being observed more than once. David, in the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 6, I believe it was, danced and leapt for joy as he brought the Ark of the Covenant, successfully this time, back to its rightful place. There is also a celebratory dance described in the Bible, and it appears also to have worshipful connections in 1 Samuel chapter 18. You remember as David had just slain Goliath and was coming back, the women took to the streets and danced in honor of this new hero. Remember what they said? Saul hath slain his thousands, but David hath slain his 10,000s. And then we find the Old Testament telling us about the heathen, pagan dancing. And this appears to be the kind of dancing that was going on in Exodus chapter 32 when Moses came back down off the mountain bringing with him the tablets of stone upon which the finger of God had written the law. And during his absence, you remember, the people had convinced Aaron to make for them a golden calf so that they would have something to worship. And when Moses came down off the mountain, the Bible says that he saw the golden calf and the Israelites dancing. And he threw those tables of stone down and broke them. And you remember, ultimately had to go back into the mountain for the replacements. There is a fourth kind of dancing that's specifically mentioned, and it's in the New Testament. We find it referenced in Mark chapter 14, or Matthew 14, and Mark chapter 6, where that sad, sad story of the death of John the Baptizer is recorded. He had been put in prison by Herod because of Herodias. John had spoken against Herod, telling him it was unlawful for him to have his brother's wife. And Herodias had it in for John. And on that occasion that's recorded in that particular place, the Bible says that Salome, Herodias' daughter, danced before Herod and pleased him to an extent that he promised to give her whatever she asked, up to half the kingdom. And her mother told her to ask for the head of John. And immediately, it was sent to behead John the Baptist, and his head was brought out on a plate. Those are basically the four kinds of dancing referred to in the Bible. None of them is equivalent to the kind of dancing that folks like to do today in what we call modern dancing. In fact, according to International Standard Bible Encyclopedia, there is an entry on the subject of games in Bible times, and I believe the quotation is, "Of social dancing of couples in modern fashion, there is no trace in the Bible." So the fact is, there is no equivalent in the Bible to the modern dancing of today. Social dancing, mixed dancing, with males and females participating together. And then someone says, well, you know, the Bible doesn't say that dancing is wrong. You know, that's right. There is no verse in Scripture that says, thou shalt not dance. It doesn't even say, hey, it's a bad idea to go to a dance. It doesn't really say, now you know, dancing can lead to some major problems and so you ought to stay away from it. It's not really a valid argument because there are so many things that we recognize as very dangerous things, particularly things that lead to moral sin, that the Bible doesn't necessarily condemn verbatim, but just a teeny tiny bit of common sense and sprinkle a little logic into it, and most clear-thinking, level-headed people would conclude, you know, that's something that God wouldn't be happy with. What does the Bible say about topics related to dancing? Let's look at a few verses. First of all, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 22. The instruction given to Timothy, "Now flee from youthful lusts. Pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart." Flee from youthful lusts. I don't know that I've ever heard anybody argue successfully that dancing could not possibly lead to lust. Come on, it's all about that. Let's be realistic. Let's don't act like we don't have a brain. And so when the Bible says, flee youthful lusts, You got to ask a question. Why would a young Christian want to pursue that? Or why would a young Christian want to be in a position doing something that might lead to others lusting? And then there's 1 Thessalonians 5:22. Abstain from every form of evil. And of course, Galatians 5, verse 19. Verse 19 begins that list of what we call works or deeds of the flesh. In the first three recorded there in verse 19. Immorality, impurity, sensuality. That seems pretty clear to me. There's a lot of that goes on with the modern dance. So those are just a few things that the Bible says about the subject of things related to dancing, as I understand dancing today. Here's a third point. Let's think about it. And let's talk about it. Particularly with our children, with our grandchildren, with those who are precious to us, with those over whom we have influence. Let's talk about things like this. Let's don't act like or give them the impression, yeah, that old bunch of elders over there at Redland Road, sorry, that fell out of my filing cabinet here, I'll get it later. That old bunch of straight-laced elders or that preacher at Redland Road or those Sunday school teachers, you know, they don't want anybody to have any fun. That's not the kind of conversation you need to have on a subject like dancing with your teenagers. Talk about what God's Word says that a Christian should be. Think about these things. We are guilty, I'm afraid, as a society, of blindly going along with so much that we really ought to stop and step back and say, wait a minute, let's think this through. Here are three questions we could use in talking about this subject with our children, our grandchildren, those who are precious to us. Number one, what is the motive? What are you looking for? What's most important to you? Again, I'd like to ask the question in this regard, what does God's Word say? You know, God's Word tells us in Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10, for this reason, since the day we heard of it, we do not cease to pray for you and ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord to please Him in all respects. Hey, this is not just about dancing. This is about everything we do to please the Lord in all respects. And then there's Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, where Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Not raw meat on the dance floor, but a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What's important? Is pleasing God important in all respects? Or is it more important to be popular? Is it more important to be special in the eyes of your friends? To be accepted? Or to be risky? What's important? Question number two, when you start thinking about and talking about dancing with your kids and your grandkids, do you know what goes on. I dare say that most of us have no inkling of what goes on in the gym with the lights almost off, with the music blaring in a modern dance. Now, you know me, I like PowerPoint and the pictures and all that, and I wanted to use some PowerPoint for the lesson tonight and thought I could maybe find some pictures that would be good to use to illustrate that. There was a problem. I like my job, and I want to still be the preacher next Sunday. And so I realized there weren't any pictures that I had access to that would be good illustrations for this subject. The point is, I think most of us would be shocked. Do you know what twerking is? Grinding. And there are a lot of other terms, many of which wouldn't be appropriate for me to mention. Do you know what's going on when you allow your teenager to go to a dance? Incidentally, go home tonight and bring up Google and type in the search box, schools that have canceled dancing. I didn't do any in-depth research. It took me about 10 minutes or so. I found 6 major high schools from Maine to Oregon that have canceled all dance. I'm not talking about so-called Christian schools. I'm talking about public high schools that have decided to cancel all dances because of the dirty dancing and the out-of-control, sexually-oriented gyrations and conduct, even with a heavily chaperoned dance. That's got to tell you something. That when the world says, whoa, wait a minute, find out what's going on. And then the third question as we think about talking to our kids and grandkids about dancing. Ask yourself this question. Is this good for our kids? Is this good for our youth? Does it help them get closer to Christ? Does it help them to make a heartfelt effort of applying Philippians 4 verse 8, where Paul says, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Why? Because those are the kind of things that help us, young and old alike, to get closer to the Lord. Obviously, the matter of lust is a very important consideration here, just like we talked about last Sunday night in the lesson on modesty. In Matthew chapter 5, remember what Jesus said in verse 28? One who looks upon a woman to lust after her has committed adultery already in his heart. We treat lust, I'm afraid, I know our culture does, I'm afraid a lot of God's people are moving closer and closer to the point of treating lust like it's a rubber snake. But you know what? It's a king cobra. And if you don't believe that, you ask any young man who's gotten caught up in the tangles of pornography. You get any young male who'll be honest with you to tell you what unavoidably tries to come into his mind when he sees a young lady very scantily dressed. And as we said last Sunday night, this matter of lust isn't just boys. I understand it works both ways. But I know a lot about the boy side, for obvious reasons. Should a Christian dance? Not according to my Bible. Not according to what I read that God says about the things that are so closely associated with modern dancing. If you're subject to our Lord's invitation, we're going to sing this song for the purpose of encouraging you. I invite you to respond as we stand and sing.